Genesis 8, verse number 1. If you're glad you're saved today, say amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you still go to church where the altar's open? When I'm in other places preaching, some things that really bother me. People come to the altar. I see ladies weeping by themselves. I see men kneeled by themselves. If there's ever been a time when God's church better realize that we need each other to help us pray, it is this day and this hour. Genesis 8, verse number 1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God made a wind passed over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also, the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. The water returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. The ark rested in the seventh month, 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. The waters decreased continually to the 10th month, and the 10th month on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen. Came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro till the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. Boy, aren't you glad we got a God in the type of Noah today? When you want to get back in, He'll reach and pull you back in. He stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth a dove out of the ark. You say, preacher, how come the dove didn't stay out there? Because the dove didn't enjoy dirty things. And there the raven would light upon those that had drowned it. The raven felt so much at home going to and fro, but the dove could not find rest for her foot. Can I tell you, child of God, this old world has got a lot of things to offer us today, but there is no rest in this world for the one that is filled with the dove of the Holy Ghost of God. Aren't you glad you can be seated this morning? Aren't you glad that there is a God when you flutter around in this world and you come back to the ark of safety? He'll reach out and bring you back in this morning. I'm glad there's a God that never gives up on His children. The Bible said, and God remembered Noah. I don't know where you are today in life, but I will remind you of this. God knows where we all are today. Therefore, as He reached and He brought in this dove into the ark. The Bible said in verse 11, the dove came into him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off so that Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. He stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Now look in verse 13 and take your pencil. I don't know if you've ever seen this in the Word of God or not, but it's the place of first mention. Now I want you to look what the Holy Ghost pinned down on this day. He said in verse 13 of Genesis 8, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month and the first day of the month. The waters were dried up from off the earth. Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Preacher, what you thought this morning? Watch this. In the first year, the first month, and the first day of the month, something happened to Noah. And you'll notice here, on this first New Year's Day is mentioned in the Word of God. In the year of the first month and the first day. On this New Year's Day, I believe that Noah taught us some things by the Word of God. You say, preacher, I don't see much mention in this verse. Oh, I see a whole lot mentioned in it. Now, I want to remind you that Noah stayed in this ark for 1 year and 10 days. And I will remind you, I'll never forget the first time I heard Brother Daniel Williams preach. I went over here on the backside of Bowden. He was running a meeting, and he was preaching on this dove that came into Noah, and his thought was, the little bird that told me so. I'll never forget that in ministry and in my life, it seemed like that I had reached a place in my life personally that I didn't really know the direction to go. And to be honest with you, I was just real fed up with life. Has anybody ever really just got really fed up with life and got tired of yourself and got tired of everything that was round about you? Boy, I appreciate Brother Dana preaching to me that night. He said, you know, as Noah built that ark, it seemed to be his project. But I've noticed everything that becomes my project, that God will allow it to go to sinking before long. Let me tell you, God will allow things in your life and my life to not be heaven down here. For God has saved us to go to heaven there. And quit looking for heaven down here. The only place where heaven is, it's where God is, and where the saved die and lift their eyes in another world. Can I remind you today that things in Noah's life were stinking? They didn't have bathrooms on board. Amen. He was in close quarters with family. Has anybody been in close quarters with families in the last year? Oh, yeah, I'm talking about, ain't it a blessing? I found out how come that young people have babies. Because old people don't have the nerves to raise them. Somebody say amen. But I'm telling you today that in this life of Noah, he's been in the boat locked up with God 1 year and 10 days. And now, up on the last year of the first month and the first day, on this New Year's Day, Noah teaches us something out of the Word of God. You say, well, Brother Ken, on this New Year's Day sermon, what are you so excited about? I'm excited about three things in this passage. Now I want to say, first of all, when Noah, notice this in verse 13, he removed the covering of the ark. Some men, as you'll read after, they'll say that it was the skins of the animals that he had taken and made this covering or this top upon the ark. Some authors will say that the animal skins could not be tanned and could not have withstood that type of storm. And therefore, no doubt, he built it out of precious wood. And ever what it was built out of, I will remind you, oh glory, that upon the first day of that New Year's Day, Noah had a renewed vision. The Bible said that he removed the covering of the ark. I want to ask you today, this thing about this renewed vision. The Bible said Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. First of all, I want to say Noah wanted a better view. I don't know, but maybe you've been cooped up with some things in your life this last year, and you're ready for a different view. I want to say that my hope, and thank God, I'll go on and say it, that Hillary didn't get to be president. But we all ought to be shouting this morning how good our God's been to us to put somebody in office that let a preacher still stand up and preach the Word of God. I'll say hallelujah for the grace of God of how good that He's been to us in this day and this hour. Oh, Noah wanted a different view. Can I tell you, I'm not looking for a lot of hope out of Washington. Most of them are hobnogging, bought off, paid off, in the buddy crowd, in the clique crowd, honey. Hey, what are you talking about? Noah wanted a better view. I don't know about you, but I get tired of where I've been around the last year, looking at myself and my failures and my problems and how bad really I can be and how life can get to stinking. I've noticed that when I look upon the Lord, then my spirit is refreshed. I'm telling you, Noah wanted a better view. You got to want to have a better view before you can ever look out of what's got you covered up this morning. He wanted a better view. The reason some of you not doing no better, you don't want nothing no better. The reason some of you don't get no better because you're happy with the roof on you. But honey, let me tell you, on this first day of the new year, I'm hoping that the heavenly dove will allow the roof to get off of what's got you covered up this morning. Oh, he wanted a different view. I don't know about y'all, but last night as I was looking around midnight, let me tell you, midnight's made for sleeping, not partying. Somebody say amen. My goodness, I was looking around all them crazy people. You know, really, all they're wanting is a better view. Can I tell you the greatest view that you'll ever have this morning is of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Noah on this first day of the year, he had a renewed vision. Wouldn't that be a blessing if God would give you a renewed vision? He wanted a better vision. Number two, he waited for a better vision. Now if Noah would have took ever how he done it, the Bible said he removed the covering off the top. Not only did he want a better view, but he waited for a better view. When that had been something, when the storm was a howling, when things around him was flooded and things around him was bad, wouldn't it have been awful if he would have took it upon his own and tore the cover off? But I want to remind you, the heavenly dove told him it was time to take a look out. Wouldn't it be a blessing if the heavenly dove told you today it's time for a fresh vision for the honor and the glory of God? The Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. Oh, I want to say, if on this first New Year's Day of the Bible, there was a renewed vision. He wanted a better view. He waited for a better view. But look what the Bible said. He removed the covering. He worked for a better view. Sometime, you have to work at getting a better view of things. A lot of times as I sit around, the devil will tell me and remind me how bad I've got it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm facing things in my life that I've never faced since the day I've been saved. Now I'm facing things, struggles of the flesh, struggles of kin, struggles of the world, struggles of God,
But I can tell you one thing, I've got to work at getting a better view. It ain't no time to sit down and feel sorry for me. You say, preacher, are you hurting? Honey, I can tell you on my hands the days this year that I've woke up and not felt like going to bed, closing my Bible and saying, let somebody else preach. But it's just something in me. When that dove of heaven comes by, I want to get a better look of where I've been. Can I tell you, there's a better day coming. Look out for where you are. Don't let the storm overtake you. Hey, by the good grace of God, let the Holy Ghost give you a new view this morning.
I say, well, nobody comes to the altar when we preach. Nobody comes to church. Nobody signs your Bible here. Nobody says amen much here. I want to tell the devil to go back to where he is this morning. I'm glad that I'm upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus. I'm glad that I know that I'm where I'm supposed to be this morning. Let me tell you, if there's ever been a day and an hour when I'm to be right where I'm at a preaching, it is this morning. I'm glad I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. I've never had it this good, but honey, I've never seen the battles so strong in all of my life. Don't think for one second the older you get in the Lord, your flesh dies. And I know some of y'all got all this figured out, but I just want to tell you, preacher, I ain't got it figured out yet. But I've got something figured out. I don't trust Ken Bowman no further than I can throw him. Every morning of my life, I pile in my altar and say, oh God, help me, because I can't make it without you today. Oh God, help us in this day and this hour that we live. You see, Noah realized upon this first day of this first month of this year that he needed a renewed vision. Can I tell you, God can give you a new vision this morning. Not only did he have a renewed vision, but I want to say in verse 13, I don't know if you can handle this or not. Not only did he have a renewed vision, but listen to me, child of God, he had a remindful victory. You see, he just experienced a year of an enormous flood. When everybody else, oh Lord, when everybody else was drowning, when he ripped that top off, he said, glory to God, I'm glad you saved me, put me in the ark of God. When everybody else is dying, I'm a living. Can I tell you, I'm glad there are reclaimed victories. I'm glad greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Man, I want to stick my head out of that ark this morning and say, thank you, Jesus. When the flood has drowned many others, I've made it. How many people do you know last year that the flood overtook them? But I made it. You made it. You know, in this enormous flood, it came upon families. But in this recognized victory, he said, Lord, you've been good to me. This is another thing I believe he thought. I never thought about it till yesterday. Lord, I lost a lot of friends in that flood. But you let me make it. By the grace of God. I look around at people that don't have the opportunity that me and you got this morning. You know why? God called them out of this world.
Brother Lee said it right to me early this morning. Pastor, this world don't fear God anymore. Used to, when somebody died in the community, it struck the fear of God throughout the households. I'll remind you, young people, there's young people died in Randburg. They died in Carrollton. They died in Bowden. But by the good grace of God, you've made it this far. And you ought to thank God that He's still in the saving business this morning. He stuck his head out of there. He said, God, I've lost a lot of friends. Many of you, you've lost several friends this year. Some of you've lost family. But I will remind you that God has kept you safely through. I'm thankful God has let me live to do a few things in my life. I love my grandchildren more than life. I love my wife and my family like I've never loved before. I love the church that God has given me to pastor more than I ever have in 21 years. I love preaching the gospel, and I love living and feeling the presence of God come about me and upon me and in me. I'm going to tell you on this recognized victory, I'm glad that the flood has not taken everybody off the scene. I'm glad there's still a few people that like old-time preaching, old-time worship, bringing their family to the house of God without apology and denial and saying, preacher, preach to me. Church, sing to me. Christian, encourage me. Let us go to the altar and pray. Thank God there's a recognized victory. Look how good God's been to you. Do you think when He had been in that thing a year and 10 days, that when He's fixing Lightfoot off of that ark, don't you think He was thankful for what God had done for him? I see a people, and you listen to me this morning. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you this. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And sir, you're going to die and go to hell without Christ. Ma'am, you're going to die and go to hell without Christ. Young man, if you don't get saved, hell's going to be your home. But I want to remind you today, there is a recognized victory. God has brought us through the storms and the floods. When it has taken so many people off the scene, God spared you. God spared me. The flood of cancer has taken many. There's many in our church that have cancers, had cancer. Some didn't make it. Some have made it through the flood. There's been many times that sudden surprises has come and taken our loved ones off of this scene. But thank God on this day He recognized, Lord, look how good You've been to me. I want to say, not only upon this first day of a new year was there a renewed vision, was there a remindful victory. Because in this remindful victory, there was an enormous flood. But secondly, there was an engaged faith. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, Noah moved with fear the saving of his house. I'm so glad one day, Brother Jerry, Brother Randall, I'm so glad one day that the Holy Ghost come by my house, struck my heart with fear, and I moved to the saving of my house. Amen. Megan and Macy are saved today, no doubt, because of a mom and daddy that feared God and moved by faith. Oh Lord, not only was it a time of an enormous flood. Some of you have been through an enormous flood. But it was a time of an engaged faith. Look, when everybody else was sinking, He was saved. I want to say something today.
It might be stinking where you at and where you living. It may be bad where you are and you're experiencing things you've never experienced. But you remember this preacher said this to you before you go home today. Whatever's going on inside the ark is a whole lot better than what's going on outside of the ark. The devil will never show you what you got, just what you don't got. But the devil will never show you sitting in a church with your family and your grandbabies and your friends saved by the grace of God. He'll just let you look out there on the New York streets at midnight and say, boy, look what you're missing since you got saved. Honey, let me tell you what I'm missing since I got saved. Hangover parties and friends that throw me away. But the day I got saved, I got put in the family of God. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Praise God, how blessed last night. How blessed. How blessed. Went to my nightstand, opened me a bottle of Aquafina. Got me one of them little peppermint sticks I preached on Sunday before last, put by my nightstand, peeled that baby back. Eat me a piece of peppermint candy. Cut my electric blanket on number 4. Slid under it. Got my 2 pillars fixed just right. And this morning I woke up and the Holy Ghost said, you get to go preach this morning! How blessed. How blessed. That New York crowd, they hung over this morning. They hunting Rolaids, Alka-Seltzers. They hunting everything to try to get them back to where they was about midnight. But honey, let me tell you, there's coming another midnight one of these days when the Lord Jesus is going to return. And you better be ready to go out to meet Him. You see, if on this New Year's Day, Noah had a renewed vision. He had a remindful victory. He realized he'd come through a time of an enormous flood. He just experienced a time of engaged faith. But look in Genesis 7. Let me give you this little thought and I'm going to be done preaching shortly. Look in Genesis 7. Now, when Noah got this ark finished, the Bible said in Genesis 7:1, and the Lord said to Noah, come, thou and all thy house. Brother Jason, he didn't say, go in. He said, come in. Aren't you glad? You said, preacher, what you thought that? Well, when he said, come in, it meant that the Lord was on the inside. You see, when I'm at my house, and you come to see me, if I'm outside, I say, go in. But if I'm on the inside, I say, come in. Aren't you glad that God was on the inside waiting for Noah to get in? But here's something else, a great little nugget in the Word of God. Look in Genesis 8. Look in Genesis 8. And he said in verse 16. This is my thought. This remindful victory. Listen to me. There was an enormous flood. There was an engaged faith. But there was an encouraging fellowship. Now listen to me. For a whole year, Noah experienced something on that boat that nobody else got to experience. And just maybe in your flood, just maybe in your storm, I've noticed this, that you can experience a fellowship with God like you've never experienced in all your life. Here's the thought. Look at it. Genesis 8, verse 16. When he got ready to go out of that ark, look what God told him. Go forth of the ark. You know what that lets me know? He didn't say, come out. God was on the inside. You see, when God was on the inside before it started, God will be on the inside when it's finished. Honey, you may be in a great flood of things going on in your life, but I will remind you, there's a God that not only gets on board, there's a God that stays on board today. Go forth.
Aren't you glad you've got a God that'll ride with you through the floods of...
You know, sometimes things just don't make sense to me. Sometimes I don't make sense to me. You hear a lot of polished preachers, they don't want to get real honest down to where me and you live, but sometimes, honey, I shake my head at me. Somebody about run me off the road, what I want to do to somebody.
I've noticed this, that through these floods in my life, there's something I always say. God, I'm glad you didn't jump off board. God, I'm glad you rode it through with me. You know how you'll get through your next flood. God. And I'll tell you another thing that's not in the Bible, but I have a big imagination. Not a lot said about Miss Noah. All we know it was 8 saved in this ark that day. But I want to say something to my wife publicly today. There's probably some times that he ran to his wife and said, "Honey, food's getting low in here." Maybe she said, "Honey, didn't God tell you He'd do it?" Can I tell you the way you're going to make it, not only a God on board, but others that's on board with you. Thank God I'm not riding in this thing by myself. Sunday mornings I have preachers that have texted me from all around this country, "Brother Ken, preach, Brother Ken, we need you to preach." I have people when I get up preaching saying, "Pastor, thank you for preaching right to me today." I get home, my wife will say, "Honey, that was a good message today." And then when she don't say it's a good message, I know it wasn't a good message. But she don't go home and say, "That preaching was awful this morning." The other Sunday night I got ready to leave, and I really... she said, "What you preaching tonight?" And I told her, and I got to preach something else, Brother Adam. She got home, she said, "Why didn't you preach that you was going to preach tonight?" Brother Jerry, I know it went real good. But sometimes we need each other. This morning, I don't know where you at in life. But I want to tell you, there's a God that'll ride through the storm with you. And Sherry, I want you to come this morning. Now notice thirdly, and I'm done preaching. On this first day of the new year, I want to tell you that it was a day of renewed vision. It was a day of remindful victory, but it was also a day of a revealing venture. The Bible said in Genesis 8 and 20, soon as he got off that boat, you know what he done? He built an altar unto the Lord. You see, there's the priority of worship. Isn't this amazing? He went looking for a house to take them to live. He went looking for a job. Went looking for a car. As soon as he got off that boat, he built an altar unto the Lord. I want to say about this thing of worship today, there ought to be a priority of worship. God has set aside the first day of the week to worship Him now. Used to be the Sabbath. But when Christ got out of the tomb, those disciples was in the upper room on the first day of the week. And now Jesus says, upon the first day of the week, let us lay aside. Let us set aside that day to worship Him and give unto Him. I want to tell you the priority of worship was big in Noah's life. Is it priority to you? Can I say something, and we ain't got service tonight, so don't get mad if I preach 2 hours this morning. But you listen to me. Our priority here ought to be worshiping God. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying what I know about most ministries. As they begin to grow, they become to compromise. They become little fellowship buildings. They become little patent places and sin dens. But you hear this preacher, and you hear this preacher good this morning. You need a place where you come worship God upon the first day of the week. You need a place where you can come in and magnify the Lord, and the Word of God is preached unto you and to me. We need preaching. You see, there was a priority of worship. Do you have a priority of worship in your life? Priorities. I've noticed this. If you're not careful, the devil will rearrange your priorities. And really, have you noticed, Brother Mike said something Wednesday night upon this new year, let us analyze our hearts and let us try to do more for the honor and the glory of God in this year. Could I ask you something? Has your priorities increased or decreased at the house of God? It seems like that coming to church to so many now is such a hardship. It's such a burden instead of a joy to come and with God's people. And but let me tell you, it's only one reason what brings that in through my study of the Word of God. You know what it is? It's sin. When we've got sin in our lives, we don't enjoy the things of God. But oh, when you get clean with God, you'll enjoy His presence and His people, His ways of doing things. You see, there was the priority of worship. Then you'll notice this. Look. The Bible said that there's also a price of worship. He builded an altar. You know, having a place of worship comes at a price. It's going to cost you something. And the Bible said that He offered sacrifices. I want to say this. Some of you won't like this, but it don't matter. I found it so in my life. We give a tithe to the Lord, and that's really not a sacrifice. You say, Brother Tim, what are you talking about? Well, you give a waitress 15-20%. I've noticed in my giving, you know when God really blesses me is in the sacrifice of my worship. When it hurts me to do something. But that's what the devil's telling me. It's hurting you to do this. But the whole time God's a pouring in blessings that I can't even add it all up right. You see, he worshiped with a sacrifice. That means sometimes you got to come to church when you don't feel like coming to church. That means sometimes you got to give when it's not even looking right, like it's going to make it to give. But you've got to trust God in your sacrifice of worship. Can I say something? I done might as well said everything else. This morning is Mission Sunday. We added a new missionary today. That's going to give us around, I guess, 50 in that program with two other churches. And I didn't have my checkbook in the desk, so I went out to the truck to get my checkbook this morning. I was writing that check. This is what I thought. How in the world do you do that? How do you give that? And then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost reminded me, what have I done for you, Ken? It's the little things God does. Let me tell you how good God is. The other day, I done wrote a check to the county now, to do a service. You know that baby's going to get cashed.
Brother Randall, you know it's going to get cash. It goes to 10.
They called me from the office and said, Mr. Bowman, that check you wrote, said, we need to mail it back. Do you want us to mail it back or tear it up? I said, praise God, mail it back, tore up. He said, we figured out we've made a mistake. And I'd done deducted that, and it was getting a little tight that week. God said, you can put that back. You say, why you say that? I'm telling you, God will do things that you can't do. Well, I preached my New Year's Day sermon this morning. And I think it's a pretty good one. Now I just wonder. You say, I've heard you say this. We got a good preacher down there at Liberty, man. Got a good preacher. Do you listen to his preaching? Brother Mike, somebody told me this week about, you know what he said? He said, Brother Ken, I love to hear you preach. Thank you, do a great job preaching. He said, but let me tell you something. When you're gone, I love to hear that Brother Mike preach. Let me ask you something. Brother Mike, come here just a minute. This man's been with me 21 years, and that man right up there on the front, and a few others. We've seen a lot of things come and go. But I'm going to tell you what we've seen. We've seen the God of heaven.
Yes,
open up His hand upon this ministry and this
Amen.
Place.
Yes, we have.
Brother Matt was a deacon. God called him to preach. Brother Adam was a deacon. God called him to preach. Brother Matt, Brother Randall, watch out.
Amen.
I don't know of a better man I could leave here in charge when I'm gone doing what God has called me to go do. And you ought to come see what God's got for you on a Wednesday night. Do you need a fresh vision this morning? I open this altar. My heart's done preaching. Would you come today? Whatever you need, would you bring it to the